Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in the Bronx, New York, and earned a BA in French studies from Iona College and an MA in French from Assumption College. From 1962 to 1990, he was a Christian brother teaching French, Latin, English, and religion at high schools in Michigan, Illinois, and Hawaii. In 1990, at age 50, he became a priest and has served various flocks in Hawaii, California, and now locally. His name, the famous Father Joe Grimaldi. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Father Joe Grimaldi, who's beloved throughout this area by an awful lot of people that he's helped over the years. Father, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
As we begin this Christmas week, can you lead us in an opening prayer, Father, please?
Heavenly Father, you assured us with the incarnation that the birth of your Son, that Jesus would be with us even beyond the end of time. We ask that you comfort us, particularly during these challenging times, so that we can do your work here on earth the way you have asked us to. And we ask you all of this in the name of Jesus the Lord.
Thank you, Father. What if we start by going back to the Bronx and talk about your childhood growing up in the Bronx and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. Well, both of my parents were immigrants from Italy, and we first settled in New York City in the Italian ghetto at 116th Street near Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church. In any case, I grew up there until about 10 o'clock, until I was 10. Then at 10, we moved to the Bronx, which was at that time open area, farmland, and things of that sort. In a very short period of time, we know that that area, the Bronx, had become populated to the point that it had many of those tenement buildings. But there was always that section where there were private homes and what I call the Archie Bunker type homes. Huh? You have the two and with a driveway in between the two. And we grew up in one of those. All I can say is I was sent to Catholic schools throughout from in New York. I went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which was the great school very close to where we live. But then in the Bronx, I went to Holy Rosary. And then at grade 8, well, I had to make a decision where to go to high school. Well, I was accepted at Fordham. I was accepted at All Hallows. And it was kind of interesting that the nuns counseled me to go to All Hallows. Why? They thought that there were many brothers at that time teaching. If I had gone to Fordham, most of the priests there would be teaching at the university level. So they felt it was better that I had that influence. Well, it was interesting because that influence was very influential in my life, because while at All Hallows, I decided this is what I want to do. I want to be a brother, teaching young people, coaching them, guiding them, directing them in the best way I could.
Father, what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, perseverance and hard work. We grew up in a very poor family, and so it was perseverance. We're going to make it. Keep going. Don't give up. Do the best you can. You always have to look good professional work. You know, you don't go to school dressed like you're going to the playground. Huh? You have to get dressed up, and we'll iron the shirt, and we'll do all of these good things. In any case, we were taught to do the best we can with what we had, which was really minimum. We didn't have much at all.
In the Catholic faith, there's brothers and then there's priests. You became a brother. What's the difference between a brother and a priest?
Okay. A brother is someone who lives in a community life. And the community life is to give example to the people at large that people of different nationalities, different interests, but yet have one mission in life, can live together in peace and harmony. And so that they are to give example to the world that they can live together and still be at peace with each other. A priest is a lot more independent. The brother, again, let me go back for a moment. With the brother, he leads a religious life, which means there's daily prayers, there's community time for the group to be together. They have the one mission, which would be school. Some other religious orders, they go into nursing or, you know, become doctors or whatever the case might be. But for the Christian Brothers of Ireland, we were a group of people dedicated to education. And so we have schools all over the world that we had. I'm no longer one of them. But in any case, the priest, on the other hand, is someone who takes care of the sacramental life of the individual from the moment of baptism to the moment of death. And so it covers the whole age group. I always said, you know, for 31 years, I dealt with teenagers. Most people only deal with teenagers for 4, 5, 6 years. But in any case, I decided I would want to work with people from birth until death. It gave me a whole different aspect of the person.
Speaking of working with teenagers from 62 to 73, a dozen years, you taught French, Latin, English, and religion at Brother Rice, and then you were assistant principal from 70 to 73. What did those teenagers teach Brother Joe Grimaldi?
They taught me a lot. And because one of the things is you have to be part of them, and yet you have to be the guiding light at the same time. And it can be done. Some people say that it cannot be done. Some people say that unless you are all the strict ogre with the stick and so on and so forth, you're not going to get through to them. I think very often we get through to them in a different way, by being with them, understanding them, being there for them when they had needs, when they had questions, when they had problems, whether it be on the basketball court or whether it be at home, and they wanted to discuss those things, well, you would be available for them. And I think they taught me that they learn in different ways.
We're talking to Father Joe Grimaldi. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the legendary Brother Rice football coach, El Fracassa, who learned everything that he ever knew from Father Joe Grimaldi. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Father Joe Grimaldi, who taught and led teenagers at Brother Rice High School from 1962 to 73. While you were there, this legendary coach, El Fracassa, he won 7 state championships, coached over 1,500 kids, transformed their lives, was named National High School Coach of the Year in 2005. Father, what made him so special?
What made him special, I think, anyway, is that he practiced what he preached. He wouldn't expect more of his students, of his ball players, than he himself could deliver. For example, I still remember early in the morning, he would do warm-ups and doing exercise with the young people, and he himself would be there. He'd be at the school late at night because the coaching went on forever in my mind. But he was such a gracious man who took interest in the individuals themselves. And so that even today, there are players that have tremendous affinity towards him and love for him. It's unbelievable. To this day, I have a close relationship with Al myself. We get along, well, maybe because it's our backgrounds are Italian. And of course, that brought us together even closer. But in any case, Al is one of these special people, full of love and yet discipline at the same time.
Today, half the teenagers in America don't have a dad in their life. You had some kids that were being raised by a single mom. If there's a single mom tonight with teenagers, Father, what do you say to her?
Well, people are blessed if they could have someone like Al Fracassa, who could be that father image, if you want. He was just a good man to be able to do that kind of thing. A single mom, to me, is something that's extraordinary. She's not only a mom, but she also has to be a dad at the same time. And so it's not an easy position to be in. But I would say with perseverance and with the guidance and the counseling of people like Al, I think she could make it through very nicely most of the time.
We're 6 days from Christmas. If there's a man, a father listening tonight who's abandoned his kids, what would you say to that man, Father?
I would say flesh and blood, and you turn your back on your own, that is not the thing to do. It's got to be painful for you too. You're not admitting it. And it's very painful to your son who has to face life without his father. I would say this, do whatever you can to get in touch with your son. Tell him that you love him. That's what it's all about. He needs to hear that from you. He doesn't want to be abandoned. Nobody wants to be abandoned. That's the worst kind of hatred, is when you are abandoned.
A lot of couples, very Christ-centered couples, great couples with three or four kids, say that they have a son or a daughter who's their prodigal child. What do you say to those parents?
The prodigal child who has come back, or the prodigal child before he came back. I'm not sure what you're getting at there, Jack, but basically receive him with open arms. I would say this, you've got to love your kids unconditionally. Now, that's not to be confused with a lack of discipline, but you accept them, you listen to them, you love them, that whatever you do because of love. Not because of any hatred or wanting to distance yourself from that child. They need your love. They need to know that you love them.
All right. For 12 years, you toiled in Birmingham at Brother Rice. And Michigan is the second cloudiest state in the union. Then you spend 40 years in Hawaii, total sunshine every day. Talk about that chapter of your life.
I first went to Hawaii because I was appointed as principal of Damien High School. Damien is a Catholic high school, very much like Brother Rice. It's run by the Christian Brothers. In any case, much smaller, because at Brother Rice we had 1,100 students, and in Hawaii there were 800 students at Damien. In any case, it was an interesting school because of the surroundings. Brother Rice is in an affluent area, whereas Damien High School is in a poor area, if you want. You know, Hawaii is one of these things that, one of these places that could truly fool you. You might be in a poor area, but because of the palm trees and the sun shining, all of these things hide the fact that people are living in poverty, and they don't even let that bother them. But in any case, there was a whole different type of people that we dealt with. You react to the kids according to what they can receive and what they understand. For example, they have a different sense of humor. I would joke with someone and say, "Hey, you're really bad," thinking he would interpret that as "that's very good." They were so innocent that they would accept that as, "Oh no, what did I do? Is this something I'm doing wrong, brother?" This type of thing. So the sense of humor is quite different, and I think we have to realize that you have to know who you're talking with in order to get the information across in the proper way. And it was a different type of situation. At Damien High School, I was there for 6 years because those are, how should I put it, in those days, you could only be a superior or a principal for 6 years. At the end of 6 years, I was sent back to Brother Rice, where I was principal for 6 years, from 1980 to 86. Well, when I was sent back to Brother Rice, I had told my provincial, who is my boss, that I wanted to be a priest, and he knew that. So I said, "Can we just take it 1 year at a time?" Well, I think most of the people who are involved in any type of administration know that once you get involved, the 6 years just flew by. And so by 1985, I had to make decisions if I was going to leave in 1986. So 1986, everything being settled, my bishop in Honolulu had arranged for me to go to Catholic University in Washington to do my theological studies, and then Rome. And so I moved out of Brother Rice in 1986. That was the last time I was there. It was a wonderful place. I still am affiliated with it because I'm helping in any type of promotions that they have. So I get involved as much as I can.
We're talking to Father Joe Grimaldi, who in 1990 at age 50 was ordained a priest and then spent time in Rome. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that chapter of his life. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're talking to Father Joe Grimaldi, and in 1990, at age 50, he earned a degree in divinity/ministry from the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome. You spent 3 years in Rome while St. John Paul II the Great was the Pope. Tell us about what you learned from that saint, Father.
Well, one of the things, he and I, you know, attended the same university, which I always am proud and happy to say. In any case, when you're dealing with a saint, what else can you say? I was sent to Rome twice. First, to finish my degree at the Gregorian, which is the Jesuit university. And after that, I was assigned as a pastor in Hawaii, which was in Kailua, beautiful part of the island. St. John Vianney was the parish. I was there only for 5 years and then back to Rome for two, and I had to do a degree in canon law. The diocese needed someone in canon law, and so I said, "You want me to go to school at my age?" And the bishop said, "Yes, and you can do it." Well, I did. It was really interesting. Here I am with a lot of young people. I was twice their age, but in any case, I came back with a degree in canon law so that I was head of the tribunal in Honolulu and then a vicar general, which basically is second in charge of working throughout the diocese. One of the good things, one of the perks, if you want, even though a lot of it was doing troubleshooting, I was sent to work with all the parishes. That meant all of the islands. So I would have to see Kauai and Maui and Molokai and so on and so forth. Also, another part of my canon law is that I've worked in the canonization of Father Damien. Father Damien is certainly a respected and loved saint who worked with the lepers. One day, this woman comes to see me. Audrey Toguchi is her name. She's still there and not any sign of any illness, nothing. But she came and she said she had this very aggressive type of sarcoma. And so she went to the doctors, or many doctors saw her and so on and so forth. And eventually she said, I don't want treatment. I'm going to Molokai and do my prayers there. She was there for 2 days. She and her sister went. They prayed for 2 days, came back. There was nothing wrong with her after that. That was Father Damien's second miracle, if you want. She relied on her love of Father Damien to be free of whatever illness she had. So Audrey Toguchi is the second miracle. Father Damien is now a saint, as part of the interesting part of the ordeal, if you want, was to interview 13 doctors. Along with a committee, we listened to them. We had to do documentation on each one. Most would say, and most were not Catholic, I wanted to say, but they could only say that somehow the disease is arrested. We can't call it a miracle, but there is no disease left as far as we can see. And we spoke to those doctors who were oncologists and radiologists and surgeons and so on, all different kinds of doctors, 13 of them. And
all right. We're 6 days away from Christmas, Father.
Yes.
What's the basic message of Christmas?
You know, we live in a world that's filled with turmoil. We live in a world where there is vitriol all around us. There's this hatred, there's this racism, there's all of these things. Jesus, the night before he died, said, love one another. That may sound simplistic, but my feeling is if we took time to listen to each other and to try to understand where each other is coming from, we could live in peace. Now, Jesus comes to us as probably the most vulnerable creature there is, as an infant. He's helpless, and yet he is our King. He is our Savior. And he's the one, the night before he died, he tried to tell his apostles what the future would hold for them. And he said simply this, love one another. I think if people could take that to heart, we would all be better off for it.
We're talking to Father Joe Grimaldi, who's got a weekly podcast for the last several years. If you want to catch it, www.thefatherjoepodcast.com. All right, we're 6 days away. Boy, we're going to be running around like chickens without our heads, buying gifts, food, all of this. How should we spend the next 6 days preparing for Christmas?
Well, the urgency of coming, first of all, we're living in unprecedented times. I mean, that's obvious right now. I think it's a matter of putting really into practice this idea that Jesus wants us to have, to love one another. So often I see this lack of love even among families, within the family. I think that's probably the worst thing that I could see. I mean, strangers, well, it's not good, but almost understandable. But within families, there is this horrible division, and even because of what we've experienced in our elections, people not talking to one another, even at the dinner table because of you know, things that have happened the wrong way for the individual. And I think if they could just try to listen to the other person to find out where they're coming from, maybe there would be some way of understanding why people do what they do.
Christmas, Father, is a time of great joy or great sadness. What do you say to someone this evening whose heart is broken this evening?
That's, I don't think there's an easy answer for something like that. In my case, what I would do if somebody comes to me that way, I would certainly try to console that individual, not just with prayers, but with understanding, trying to get them to speak, try to get them to talk so that they can vent. What is it that it is that is causing you this sadness and this hurt and so on and so forth? And maybe we could get to some understanding where we could help that person in the best way we can.
Anybody who knows you and has been blessed to spend time with you or to treat you to a meal, Father, okay, which you're famous for, they would come around saying, Father Joe truly loves Jesus. What's that like?
Humbling. Humbling. Like anyone else, I'm just trying to love Jesus. That's what we're all supposed to do, huh? I don't think I'm any different than most people trying to do the right thing. Along the way, we fall, we pick ourselves up and move forward. We muddle along if you want. That's what it's all about. As long as we pick ourselves up and move forward, that's what love of Jesus is. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to move forward with our lives.
We're talking to Father Joe Grimaldi, who's got a weekly podcast, www.thefatherjoepodcast.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Father Joe Grimaldi. And since 2011, he's been a senior priest at St. Hugo of the Hills Parish in Bloomfield Hills. Father, you've been a priest, a salesman for God for 30 years. You say Mass every day, so you've said over 11,000 Masses. So 11,000 times you've raised the host and the cup of wine while it's transformed into the body and blood of Christ. What do you think to yourself? What do you say to yourself every time you do that?
It's an awesome moment. I look at that host and I say, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I say to that chalice, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. These are not original thoughts. They come from Thomas Aquinas. They come from Thomas the Apostle. They come from a lot of other people. But it is an awesome experience to raise that host and know that Jesus comes to us again in a very vulnerable situation. Common bread, common wine. He makes himself as available as possible to anybody who wants to approach him. It's, you can't get more vulnerable than that. So I look at that host and I say, this is Jesus. I believe, but help thou my unbelief.
What's the biggest things your flock, the people that you've been serving as a priest these past 30 years, have taught you, Father Joe Grimaldi?
It's interesting to me that whenever I do stand before the congregation and I look at them, and it is their faith that strengthens my faith. And I truly believe that. If I'm up there, here I am, given this awesome privilege to do the Mass, make that bread and wine become body and blood of Jesus Christ. And here these people, they are kneeling there. Their thoughts are so faithful to the Lord. It's just to see their faces, just to see their intensity in the way they pray, it certainly strengthens my faith. So what have I learned from them? Faith.
This country is so divided. One of the few things we all have in common and believe is that we have a love and respect for the first responders, the nurses, the doctors that have unbelievable what they've done with COVID here these last 9-10 months. But priests, ministers, rabbis are first responders of the souls, our souls, which is going to last much longer than our bodies. And priests, ministers, rabbis today, Father, are under siege. Talk to us about the job they have to do today.
Well, you have to roll up your sleeves and move forward. You're going to get criticized for anything that you do, for anything that happens. And so you have to be able to, get a little bit of a thick skin so that you can receive all of those insults or whatever the case might be. But for the most part, I have to be honest with you, for the most part, I do not see that. I see most people really showing reverence to the priest, to the collar, if you want, this type of thing. I see them being very kind for the most part. You know, you mentioned particularly these days where the first responders would have the real challenge in many ways. Well, you know, anointing people right before they die is also an experience that I can never forget. And I've been privileged to do that a number of times in the last 8 months. Very often when hospitals will not allow visitors, if the person is dying, they allow the priest to go in. Obviously, you have to dress appropriately with not just with masks, but with gloves and so on and so forth. But you do what you have to do. And as I say, most people are reverent. Most people, not all, you're right, not all, but most people do appreciate the work of the priest, the spiritual aspect of life.
When you talked about raising the host and you said, you know, I'm not worthy, I'm flawed. Current Pope Francis has talked a lot about that. What's the biggest things that Pope Francis has taught you, Father?
Pope Francis speaks with a very open mind, more so than any of the previous popes. He comes to us at a time when, because of his age, he can't help but think of who the next leader might be, not by name, but what kind of a pope will he be? Because he'll be someone who has the least experience with Vatican II. I think whatever experience Francis had with Vatican II was minimal, because he was, he was a young person. The next pope will be a little kid probably when the Vatican II happened in our church. And so that it's going to be interesting to see the next pope's way of doing things. Francis certainly is not Benedict, and he's not John Paul II, but he brings across a certain amount of openness and freshness to the office of pope. And I like Francis very much. I know that there's a lot of criticism about him, but by the same token, he's someone who is intelligent, compassionate, and loving.
Anybody who knows you says you're intelligent, compassionate, loving. Like a little kid, you've got an enthusiasm. Like a little kid, you've gone through two open heart surgeries and also whipped cancer. How have you stayed so young at heart?
Well, one of the things whenever there's any illness, I just decide to get it over with and move forward. Okay, so if you're going to concentrate on that and concentrate on staying in bed or staying in your room, you can't help but just go downhill. So I think I certainly take these sicknesses, particularly the open hearts, I take them seriously. But once it's over with, it's over with.
Okay, Father, as our time winds down together this evening, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us wisdom and love during these trying times. Wisdom to try to do the right thing in terms of how we treat our bodies and how we treat one another. We ask that you give us the love that we need as we prepare ourselves to receive your Son into our lives once again. And we ask you this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, for all the people that love Father Joe and have learned so much from him, thank you for giving us Father Joe. Please keep him safe in his heart.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.